Well, today it's really a joy to be speaking with Decker Kunov, and I'm really excited to have you on the call today. And I'm just looking forward to kind of hearing your take on how to date younger women and how you think about older guys dating younger women and sort of the whole topic. So welcome to the call.
Thank you.
So I think a good starting point is just sort of to give us an overview of what, you know, what you're about, maybe what your company is about, and kind of how you see dating and relationships with women in general, and how did you kind of get in the scene or whatever you want to call it?
Well, you know, I lead workshops and I coach people on having more profound relationships, period. Whether that relationship lasts one night or, you know, 50 years. So a lot of the work is with men and women from dating companies who are wanting to get back in the game, or, you know, people who are in relationships and they're kind of stuck in the same pattern or the same, keep having the same fight over and over again.
Right.
And it's funny, usually, even though they're totally different life situations, what breakthroughs people are getting are very similar. Like, it's the same core things, the same core beliefs that people have unconsciously that are getting triggered and relating that run them. And anything that's just kind of running you is eventually going to cause suffering somewhere. So, you know, it can, to me, one of the most challenging things that comes up for people relating-wise or sexually is when you're triggered, you know, when you're in that fight and you're trying to stay solid but also loving even when she's pissed at you.
Right.
To me, that's like the highest quality challenge ever. But for some guys, that cold approach, meeting the woman for the first time, seeing her, bringing something that feels solid and clear but also fun, and like that's a really high challenge for guys also. And both scenarios are triggering the same core stuff.
Now, what would you say that core stuff is? I mean, because
for a lot of guys, there is some limited sense of yourself. One guy might just keep getting blown off by women, and they just don't even really notice him. Or, you know, he's charming, and they give him her phone number, and then she never calls back. Or she's like, oh, I'm really busy for the next 2 weeks. But, you know, it's clear she's not dropping everything to see him.
Right.
And for that guy, there's usually some way that he's toning himself down, where he kind of tiptoes around things or hides that he's sexually interested or doesn't want to offend her, or, you know, some version of that who he is too much. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's like a core underlying sense of himself that's limiting and that's unconscious, that he's too much. And so he's always apologizing a lot, or he's just kind of a wallflower. He just kind of fades out. Like he keeps creating this situation where women respond the same way, in different situations, the same response, because the one common factor is him. But it's not like that means all men should never apologize for themselves and then suddenly be more expressed and more forward or more overtly sexual. That's just what he's hiding. For the next guy, it might be that he actually is always bragging or exaggerating or embellishing things or trying to make sure that she, you know, he tries to make it subtle, but it's obvious to the woman that he's trying to make sure she sees his social value, and which just suggests that he doesn't have it, right? The harder he tries to make sure she believes it, the less solid it seems. And for him, the core current could be the exact opposite. He may have the sense that who he is, if he was just himself, isn't enough. Not that he's too much, but that he's not enough. And so he's always hamming things up, and people tolerate him, or he comes off creepy, or, you know, he'll have a whole different set of challenges. But at the core of it, it's the same phenomenon. There's something running him that he's not aware of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the work we do, and it's the same in a relationship. If she's blaming me for something, all of a sudden I'm acting like we're in wartime, like there's something really, really bad happening because I'm triggered. I've got this thing where I'm responsible for everybody, and if I fail, I fail to everybody. If she's upset, then I'm, you know, it triggers this thing in me that I'm responsible for everybody, that it's all on me. Some other guy doesn't really, you know, my business partner doesn't get that triggered by it. He's like, oh, did I screw something up? You're really mad at me. it doesn't hit his button, he's got something else. If she gives him the cold shoulder, then he's really triggered.
Well, what would you say then are the typical inner struggles or boxes that older guys put themselves in? And by older guys, you know, guys in their 40s, and in particular wanting to date younger women, because we've sort of been identifying lots of different things in our book and in our research interviewing experts, like things that seem to be commonalities, you know.
Yeah, well, I'd say what I've noticed is either one, they may be divorced and they're just wanting to have the experience of dating. Like some of my older clients, they're divorced and they've been married their whole adult life.
Right.
So they never really got to just be a single guy. And so he's wanting to date a lot, but the only way he's known how to create attraction is by being a provider, by hitting buttons in her that like, oh, solid supporter or provider, which actually isn't very conducive to casual dating, right?
Yep, it's not that sexy. Out of the gate.
Totally. Right off the bat, she's already expecting commitment, and she's getting really serious, and or she's going to be jealous of the other women he's dating. So one of the boxes that I see older guys paint themselves into is the reliable, good provider guy. And he's already played that card, you know. He's got to actually start enjoying seduction, enjoying attraction, not using attraction as using supporting her as a hook to get turn on, but cutting straight to the turn on, enjoying flirting, enjoying innuendo. The seducer is a whole other archetype that a lot of older men never got the chance to really enjoy.
But do you think that the provider then would be collapsed with the concept, you know, where older guys are just spending shitloads of money on young women to impress them? Is that how that is expressed? Or how do they, if a guy is reading this, how is he going to know that's me?
Yeah, great. Now, if he's trying to impress her, then he's going to draw women who want to just use him, right? Or feel better about herself, feel like she has prestige or she's higher status or something. So you can recognize those women who aren't really there for you or who talk a lot about what car you drive.
Yeah.
But it's a totally different vibe than the provider. That's the, what's a good name for that? It's like the, those hedonistic,
well, it seems like the guy who's going through the midlife crisis who's trying to, you know, impress them, and he's desperately...
Oh, yeah. He's got the Harley now. And the...
But then I see what you're saying. It's different than the provider. But it almost seems like that provider and the guys... I've been coaching guys for 12 years, so I've seen a lot of guys. But they even young guys do that, though.
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah. We all end up in similar traps, but there are some that seem to be more common for older guys. It's the epicure who's like trying to provide all the high class experiences and impress. But the provider is more of a soft, warm energy where she just feels safe and he's just such a good guy. And why can't younger guys be like this? Like he thinks that dating and seduction is that. And what I want him to get is that's one style of many. Like, that's one card that he knows how to play. And there's a lot of other ways to enjoy dating and sexuality. And it makes a huge difference because, actually, older guys are usually really good at play fighting and sarcasm and keeping her on her toes, not keeping her comfortable, actually keeping her a little uncomfortable in a fun, connected way.
No, that makes sense. Would you say so that your approach is sort of like you're using this card analogy? It's like you give the guy a full deck of cards and he pulls out this and this, you know, maybe there's 15 key skills or 15 key energies that he provides.
Yeah. Now in the work I do, and this is why I described the identity level work that I do initially, where you're getting in touch with how, like the way that you're like a broken record. You keep playing the same script over and over again. What I usually do is help him recognize what he keeps playing over and over again. Because if he can't see it, it's got him by the balls.
Mm-hmm.
The moment he starts to recognize it, almost inevitably, if I start pointing out, like the guy who apologizes a lot, for example, who ends up being more of a doormat and is relating, with these hot young things who are just like totally taking advantage of it. But if I start pointing out all the subtle ways that he either explicitly says I'm sorry or implicitly apologizes for himself, as soon as he starts to see it, he wakes up out of it. Like, you know, I'll be like, oh, you just said you're sorry again. Oh, I did. I'm sorry. You can't. They're really compulsive routines. But after a while, if I just keep pointing out, he keeps pointing it out. He catches himself in it. He'll pop out of it. And his real personality suddenly just starts shining through, usually by him laughing or like, God, I'm done with that. This is what I want, God damn it. End of story. It's like, oh, some power. He's not ingratiating anymore. And what, as soon as he pops out of it, his own style starts to flow. It might be that she just feels turned on by how solid and clear and directed he is. It may be that he's laughing at himself and making a joke. He's more playful. This is why I call it the Authentic Man Program. There's no recipe for this. As you pop out of your script that you play out, your own style will start to flow.
Got it. Huh.
And I have noticed that for a lot of older men, a script that they play out is the provider, making sure she feels safe. Especially in our, you know, the boomer generation, those are the older guys now. They were raised by eco-feminist mothers and sisters, and the idea of ravishing a woman sounds abusive from the cultural training they got. So it's all about, like, there's just this assumption that you're supposed to make sure she's never uncomfortable, which generally is a really bad idea. If you're wanting to enjoy adventurous, playful, flirtatious, dynamic dating.
That's great. All right, do you teach specific approaches to guys? Or, I mean, you're talking right now, it seems to me like more like inner belief, inner game, mindset. But do you also get into, like, you know, how do you, you know, if you're 45, how do you meet a 25-year-old woman, for example, if that's your goal in life, or somebody who's younger than you?
I think it's important. I think, you know, there comes a point where you have to let go and find your zone. You know, like in sports, there's a point where you can't try to force your game. You have to let your game come to you. And that's the inner work. But meanwhile, yeah, you got to shoot your free throws. You got to do your dribbling drills. There are some specific things to practice and get, you know, wrap your head around. So if when he kind of pops out of his, whatever his trip is, and realizes that what he really enjoys is more playful, more provocative, more audacious even, if that's what has him energized, then we can play it out. Okay, from this, how you feel right now, when you approach her, what would you say? What would she say? And I'll, you know, I offer examples. I'm always wary of it, of telling them specific stories of what I've done or said,
right?
Because that can just be another recipe that where they lose themselves and they don't even enjoy it anyway. But some, you know, there are some formulas that if it fits for him, if it clicks for him, I don't care if he says the exact same words every time, as long as he actually means it and feels it and enjoys the interaction. Some men are, you know, like I can eat the same breakfast pretty much every morning for months on end before I get tired of it.
Yeah,
so if
too.
He doesn't need variety, and he, but the quality of being, if he actually feels turned on or enlivened or playful with her, that's the sub-communication that matters. Where she actually feels lit up in her body afterwards. After the interaction, she feels better.
I mean, do you do the same thing in terms of finding specific places to meet women? Because it seems like I've met a lot of guys in their, you know, 40s who are really uncomfortable in bars, for example, and they get really nervous, and it's like it's very stressful for them. So it's hard for them to succeed or hard for them to really feel comfortable. And I'm not, you know, I can see both sides of the argument, which is, you know, you need to push through it. You need to be in uncomfortable situations and push through the fear. And then on the other hand is, how do you find places that really feel congruent, that you feel really comfortable, so you can be your best self, you know?
Yeah, those bars, man. You got to really, really be solid and clear, razor sharp. If you're going to go into a bar and not fit into that vibe at all, you've got to have your shit together. Like I would walk into places with clients, and you know, I'd realize, oh, I haven't been in a bar since the last time somebody paid me to. Like, I just, this is not my scene. And I've got some old t-shirt with holes in it, and like, I did not fit in. And it worked out great, actually. I had a blast, and I was still having fun and enjoying the guys I was with. And if I was interested in a woman, I was interested in a woman, and I enjoyed that. And they overlook, it's shocking what women will overlook if they actually feel connected and electrified in some way. If they actually feel titillated or uplifted and really personally connected, it's unbelievable. If he doesn't have to try to fit into the hip crowd, but he does have to really have his shit together to do that. And if he doesn't, I would recommend he not go to most bars, because it's just going to set him back. It's just going to have him frustrated and associating pain with meeting women. I would look for either bars that are not so trying to be like MTV. Mm-hmm. Like, find bars for just normal people. Those exist. But still, ideally, you got to have, for older guys, you got to have that place where it's a little more class usually, but still has enough of something going on for it that there'll be those younger women there. And there's always, in San Francisco, there's a place where most people are standing. And there's like the paintings on the wall, the faces, the eyes move of the people in the painting.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's a cool place, and there's fun things going on, but it's also classier, and you get a wide spectrum. So an older guy doesn't stand out. It's like an older guy trying to pick up on the young chicks. Like, it's just, it's an easier place for him to actually enjoy himself. And with everyone standing, it's way more natural to just find yourself standing near a woman and then like, hey, strike up a conversation, as opposed to places where people are sitting more and you have to overtly come up, which at first can really paralyze a guy, or where everyone's dancing. And again, although, I bet for older guys, dancing might be more comfortable.
Either that or they feel like total dorks.
It could go either way.
But, I think what's interesting, I'd like to get your take on this, is that, at least for me, I just turned 40, and the older I get, I've been doing this longer, so I have more, quote, skill, but also, I think it's a complete myth that older guys believe that young women don't like them or not interested in older guys. Not every young woman who's 25 thinks a guy 45 is attractive, but the extent to which that is true, that, I've dated a lot of young women, they seem interested, it's not a big deal. I think that got to be some kind of twisted belief in guys' psyche that young women, either that it's morally wrong, or that there's some taboo around it, or that it's maybe abusing your power in some way, or you're taking advantage of, purity of a young woman or something. Something got twisted, because it seems to be that lots of women, 10 to 15% or something like this, of young women in their 20s like older guys.
Totally. That's my real inspiration in doing the work I do, is to support people in waking up out of all the bullshit social taboo and myths about how it's supposed to be. Because all these people trying to fit themselves into this script of the right way to be in a relationship is backlashing right now. 20 years of marriage later, they're divorced anyway.
Yeah.
They're like, wait a minute, so you're saying that I just totally compromise myself implicitly because I have to in order to not be alone through 20 years of my prime, and now I'm fucking alone anyway? It's like, totally, and unnecessary. Those tendencies to try to have people feel shame if they're not fitting into some script of how it's supposed to go is like my nemesis.
But don't you see the same thing in the, quote, seduction community, where guys feel not good enough because they read blogs by guys and 22-year-old kids who are lying about fucking 50 chicks in a week, and they feel like shit because that's not them?
It's insidious. That's
a pretty pointed question, I know.
Yeah, any self-to-other comparison is you're heading in the opposite direction of actually enjoying intimacy, because it's only worth it if it's actually you and actually her. unless you're just wanting more carnal, unless you just want to get laid more. But even that seems to flow a lot more naturally when you cut to the chase. I don't train guys just to get laid much, because I don't train anyone to be settled for. There are women who don't know what else is available, or they do and they just don't believe they'll ever get it, so they're willing to settle for something that feels hollow or mediocre. But I just can't waste my time training guys in how to get settled for. It's an insult to them in my mind, and definitely to me. So if that's all guys are wanting, then this chapter, the Decker chapter, might not be so relevant. But for those of you who
No,
really
that's not
want to
what.
enjoy your dating, enjoy your sex, in a truly, like, in your body fulfilling way, I think burning through those myths are crucial. And
How do you
playing
make
with
things
someone.
physical, though? Give exercises for guys, or a lot of guys are kind of out of touch with their body, obviously. And the older they get, the more they are. So.
Oh, yeah, you know what? That is a trend too. And this is younger men as well, but there is a tendency with older men to not feel turn on much. And I'm not saying that they should be out meeting women with a raging hard on or something, but if they can't even feel, like, usually it's like, well, can you feel your chest? I think so. Can you feel your hands? Oh yeah, there's tingles. There's okay, cool. So can you feel your chest? Oh, I guess not. Not compared to my hands. It's pretty numb. Cool. What about your groin? What about your whole pelvic area? Blank. Nothing. And then they wonder why women are treating him like just a good friend or someone they really admire, but no turn on. If he's numb, she's gonna be numb. So yeah, his awareness of that, and then there's a lot of work that can be done to start waking up your body in a way where attraction isn't just something you're looking for an indicator of. Attraction is an actual visceral experience where you're both so fucking high that even if it is a one night stand and you only get a couple of hours of sleep, you still wake up energized the next morning.
That's a good
A lot of
point.
guys have never felt that, and that's like part of the point to me. And as far as specific approaches, let's see, one guy I was working with where he was just genuinely a regal, almost like a host kind of guy. That's just where he's most himself and just let go and was just being. That just flowed naturally for him. So when he came up to a group of women, he was like, hey, I'm interrupting you just for a second, but I really want to get a chance to talk to you. I'll be back in 10 minutes, and I'm going to bring you a drink. That, there may be a rule about never offer a woman a drink, you're just ingratiating yourself, but when he did it, it sang. There was no neediness in it whatsoever. Totally powerful, totally elegant, and it has to come from that core place, no matter what it is, but that landed for him. For another guy, that would have been awkward and like way forcing it or trying too hard, you know? So I'm always wary of having any one recipe, but that approach really worked well for him.
That's great.
But we know we're taking these guys out and we're telling them this and they don't believe it, but I demonstrate it because I bring out my co-lead is a comedian. So while I'm approaching a table of women and finding things out about them where they're like, wow, we didn't even know that about each other. That's such a good question. How'd you see that in me? Like, I'm having them feel really seen and they're laughing and feeling closer to each other, so of course they're enjoying me. Meanwhile, Andrew's in the other side of the bar, like taking the birthday girl's sombrero off and like humping a speaker, making everyone laugh and like just being a wild man. And ironically, we're actually coming from the exact same place. How it shows up is completely opposite, but it's coming from the exact same place.
That's awesome. So then, how do you find the guy's whatever true voice or his whatever would be an authentic seductive presence for him?
By paying attention, moment by moment, slowing down and noticing where's his mind? What is he thinking? What is he feeling? How does she feel near him? Or how close do I feel? Connected to him do I feel? Just slowing down and actually noticing what's happening right now, right now, that's where usually he sees all the ways that he's not enjoying being here. And as opposed to just being like, oh, that's approach anxiety. Just slap a label on it. Oh, that's fear of intimacy. Those labels don't mean shit. Slow down and actually get in touch with, what are you afraid of? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen right now? Well, nothing. She doesn't have a gun. We're just in a bar. Yeah, I get that rationally, but your body is shaking right now as if you're in danger. Yes? Yeah. Great. Right. So don't make it rational, but it's as if what's about to happen. And start having him get in relationship with what's driving him. Because until he is aware of it, it paralyzes him. And then he just slaps more game on top of it, more techniques on top of it. And no matter how much he rehearses it, it still seems a little odd because it's on top of this shaky, contracted state.
Yeah, definitely.
You got to actually go right through the middle of it. Don't slap more game on top of it. That's like a woman. You know, one of the things I loved when I found out about pickup, I was teaching pickup before I even knew the phrase cold approach, but I love the word pickup because it reminds me of makeup.
Of makeup?
You ever noticed that? Makeup, yeah. Like historically, women wore makeup to simulate the appearance of a highly orgasmic woman. The blush, the flush of blood in her cheeks, the mascara is like the dilated pupils of her in orgasm. Like it's mimicking the appearance of an orgasmic woman or a fertile, breeding stock or whatever. And yet most men have had an experience where she can have a lot of hot makeup on and still be totally frigid in bed. And slapping more lipstick on is not going to suddenly make her a good lover. It's the same for guys. Like you pick up is like guy makeup. And if you're not careful, you're just slapping more game on top of your game, and it just gets more and more odd. And even if you pull it off, you're not enjoying yourself anymore. So what the hell is the point? And instead, pickup can literally be pickup. How uplifting can you be in an interaction for yourself and for her in any situation? I feel strongly about it.
Oh, it's great. It's really good. Really, really solid stuff.
You don't have to know how to approach the woman in the situation to be happy or even to have a relationship. There's other ways, but it actually is an opportunity. It's one of the most fun parts of life for me. So I don't think a lot of guys are just wanting more notches on their belt. They're intuitively realizing that there's a lot of joy of being themselves and meeting people for the first time that's not available because something core in them is getting triggered, something that's probably getting in the way all over their life. But the rest of their life kind of cooperates, and women don't. They don't play along, and so they trigger it.
Yeah, I mean, I've often noticed a lot of guys who I work with just don't really like life. They don't have a lot of friends, guy friends, women. They don't know much of a social life. They don't do much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, it's like, it's all mushed in the whole same soup almost kind of depressed, like blah,
Either numbness or anxiety. They're trying really hard, or however they deal with it. But if they don't get that promotion, they get over it. If they spend Christmas alone, they're sad for a couple of days and they move on. But man, something about if they really are into a woman, and it doesn't go the way they want it to, it wakes guys up.
Yeah,
so it's actually a really great opportunity for them to actually stop and get in touch with what's really going on. Very few things wake a guy up like a woman can.